From NPR and WBUR, I'm Lisa Mullins. It's Here and Now. Volkswagen and Ford this week entered into one of the biggest alliances in the auto industry. Another big alliance, meanwhile, hangs in the balance, this one involving Japan's Nissan and Mitsubishi and France's Renault. The man who helped forge that alliance is Carlos Ghosn. He's in jail, awaiting trial on charges of financial misconduct. As NPR's Anthony Kuhn reports from Tokyo, Ghosn's downfall is widely seen as a battle over the future of that alliance at a crucial time for the auto industry.
Carlos Ghosn's rescue of Nissan is legendary here, so his downfall comes as a shocking turn of events. Ghosn appeared in court on January 8th, insisting his innocence. His lawyer, Motonari Otsuru, told reporters that Ghosn's time in jail has taken its toll on him.
As those of you who were in court today know, his face is very much thinner. I think he has lost quite a bit of weight.
Ghosn was detained in November, and a court rejected his most recent bail application last week. That means he's likely to remain behind bars for months until his trial. Ghosn was born in Brazil and holds French and Lebanese citizenship. He took over at Nissan nearly two decades ago. The company was nearly bankrupt then, and it was seen as emblematic of how many Japanese corporations had become hidebound and sluggish. Tokyo-based auto industry analyst Takaki Nakanishi says that Ghosn turned Nissan around through ruthless cost-cutting, and Japan celebrated him for it.
He is actually the man changed Japan and influenced many Japanese corporations, you know.
Nakanishi says that Ghosn became a virtual dictator at Nissan, essentially deciding his own salary of about $9 million a year without any oversight. Nakanishi points out that's nearly triple what Toyota president Akio Toyoda makes, and Toyota is double Nissan's size. But the unchecked power that first helped Ghosn save Nissan, he says, sowed the seeds of his downfall later. Prosecutors say that Ghosn underreported his income by about $44 million over 5 years. Nakanishi says that to many Japanese, that makes Ghosn look greedy.
Japanese mentality, I think they are very angry about Carlos Ghosn's cheating on this, mispresenting his compensation.
Ghosn presided over the alliance of Nissan, Mitsubishi, and Renault, and was CEO of both Renault and Nissan. But it was a lopsided deal. Renault was basically Nissan's parent company and held all the voting rights. Last June, Ghosn suggested a merger, which would have allowed Renault to swallow up Nissan.
That was sort of the straw that broke the camel's back.
That's Nicholas Benes, representative director of the Board Director Training Institute of Japan, a nonprofit devoted to improving corporate governance. He says Ghosn's rivals within Nissan opposed the merger and forced him out, not through boardroom maneuvering, but via a whistleblower and public prosecutors.
And that's the sort of quasi-palace coup part of this, which really is, I think, yes, a reality. It is a sort of a palace coup.
Takaki Nakanishi describes it as
Nissan's re-Japanization. Nissan want to be back to Japan. Okay, so after experiencing the globalization, they don't want to be 100% global.
The final irony, Benes says, is that with new energy vehicles and self-driving cars about to shake up the auto industry, a merger might actually have been a good idea. Anthony Kuhn, NPR News, Tokyo.